We've been talking about the gospel according to George Strait, and I think we're going to wrap that up today, I think. So far, we've covered it just comes natural. And the premise for that message was, you know, it's just natural for God to love us. I mean, he sent his only son to die for our sins, so that's the kind of love that he has for us. So it just comes natural. The second thing was the week that I was gone, but it's the breaths you take. The song, the chorus of that song, life's not the breaths you take. The breathing in and out to get you through the day ain't what it's all about. You just might miss the point trying to win the race. Life's not the breaths you take, but the moments that take your breath away. So that whole deal is just don't get so tied up in what's going on, the hustle and bustle, I think, that you lose track of what's important, what's right in front of you. And then last week we had to bring in some Alan Jackson to drive the point home, but they're good buddies. We didn't think they'd mind. So we had a little who's cheating who. And the point of that just basically rumors are a nasty deal, you know. And if you've got issues or something like that, you should take them to the people. Don't get tied up in gossip, because that's just how people get hurt feelings and all the wrong information gets spread. And so we just don't want to do that. So that's what we learned last week. So what else can we learn from King George? Everything, right? But there, you know, when Bo brought this message, you know, there was a lot of obvious choices for songs. You know, Love Without End, Amen, I Saw God Today. Really obvious choices that we could have done. But one of the things we like to do around here is we like to reach places that nobody else reaches, right? And so, with that being said, how many people have ever encountered somebody in their life where you may have met them, or maybe even a situation where you met somebody or something happened, and you walked away from that situation, kind of changed a little bit different outlook on things. Doesn't always have to be positive. It can be a negative experience as well, but you walk away with a different outlook on it. So I picked a song. You know, God gave me this idea for this song, and it's not one that you probably would think about for church, but it goes like this. He was sitting there beside me, throwing doubles down. And he ordered up a stirred one, and he looked around. And then he looked at me and said, I do believe I'll have one more. He said, I hate this bar, and I hate to drink. But on second thought, tonight I think, well, I hate everything. Well, then he opened up his billfold and threw a 20 down. And a faded photograph fell out and hit the ground. And I picked it up. He said, thank you, buddy. I put it in his hand. He said, I probably ought to throw this one away, 'cause she's the reason I feel this way. Well, I hate everything. And I hate my job, and I hate my life. If it weren't for my two kids, well, I'd hate my ex-wife. I know I should move on and try to start again, but I just can't get over her leaving me for him. Then he shook his head and looked down at his ring. Said, I hate everything. He said, that one-bedroom apartment where I get my mail, it's really not a home. It's more like a jail with a swimming pool and a parking lot view. Man, it's just great. Well, I hate summer, winter, fall, and spring. Red and yellow, purple, blue, and green. Well, I hate everything. Well, I hate my job, and I hate my life. If it weren't for my two kids, well, I'd hate my ex-wife. I know I should move on and try to start again, but I just can't get over her leaving me for him. Then he shook his head and looked down at his ring. said, I hate everything. So I pulled out my phone and I called my house. I said, babe, I'm coming home. We're gonna work this out. I paid for his dreams and told him thanks. Thanks for everything. So, like I said, why would I pick a song like I Hate Everything? You know, we're all about love in the church, right? Well, I feel like there's a lot of valuable information we can take away from that song. And I feel like, you know, this is one of those encounters like we talked about. You meet somebody, and this guy was just like negative, all kinds of negative. He hated his life. He hated everything. And at the end of the song, the old boy's like, you know what? That ain't who I want to be. So I feel like when we have those kind of encounters that God puts those people in our way for a reason. He's trying to pull us back where he wants us to go. So anyway, my purpose is I hope that we get a new outlook on this song by pulling away some three key points from this song and relating them to God's word. And hopefully this will give you a better understanding when God's maybe trying to reach out to you. And if I don't mess it up, you guys will get you'll get the truths that God shared with me. So how can God get us back on track? Now, like I said, I feel like there's several things that we could have taken from that song, but there was three points that kind of kept coming into my mind. And there was three questions that I kept coming back to. Like, if we can answer these questions, maybe we can see how God's trying to keep us on track. There's three questions. How can I move forward when my past is so jaded? I've made so many mistakes, and I just don't see how I can overcome them. And the number two question, how can I get past anger that seems to come from certain relationships or circumstances? And number three, how can anyone forgive me for the terrible things that I've said and done? So all that being said, the first point that I'd like to make is this. Photos fade. Okay, in the song he talks about the faded photograph falling out and hitting the ground. That's a mouthful, faded photograph fall. Yeah, like a tongue twister, right? But, you know, the faded photograph, you know, I started thinking about that, you know, faded photograph. Why is it faded? Because it's from your past, right? It's in your past. And whenever I was putting this together, God gave me this really profound point, and I wanted to share that point with you. Your past helped to form you, but it does not define you. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. That's all glory to God. You know, we as people, we tend to beat ourselves up over stuff that we've done wrong, right? It's just what we do. We don't think that we deserve forgiveness, you know, and we don't think that we even, I guess maybe sometimes we don't even think we have the right to ask for it. I don't want to get ahead of myself, though, because all these points are very closely related, so you're going to hear some recap before I recap. But once you give your life to Jesus, you're born anew. You're washed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus shed his blood for everybody in this room. And, you know, and the other thing that I think that is really we all need to hear is for everybody. And not just the people in this room, you know, people that we as humans are like, well, they don't deserve forgiveness. People who've raped another human being, killed another human being, you know, just many, many a terrible things that we as humans, we're just like, yeah, you don't deserve. But he did it for everybody. So once you've given your life to Jesus, you're new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Later on, in another portion of God's word, Colossians 2:13-14, it says this. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all your sins, and he canceled the record of the charges against you. And he took it away by nailing it to the cross. So what I'm trying to tell you here is Jesus ain't keeping record all the stuff he did wrong. The first coming of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us he came to save, not condemn. Now, when he comes back, it's going to be a whole other story. But when he was here before, it was to save, not to condemn. And once you can kind of grasp that Jesus gave his blood for you, he died to save us from death. If you can grasp that, I feel like you can start getting your life back on track where he wants you to go with it. So, and I got one more example of God's word here where he's just so forgiving and loving of us. In John chapter 8, the Pharisees have this woman, and she's been caught in adultery. And I think I've even used this before, but I just really like this story. Because Jesus has just got a way of like, dude, shut your mouth. You know, I mean, he's so in your face. In John chapter 8, they got this woman. She's been accused of adultery. And they're like, the law of Moses says, we got to stone her to death. And Jesus is like, all right, I'm down. Let's do this. Who's going to throw the first stone? Whoever hasn't sinned, you can throw the first stone. Then everybody's kind of like, well, I got this thing I need to do over here maybe, and I'm going to just leave. Everybody just kind of slowly walked away, right? And Jesus said this to that woman, and I love it. He said, then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Straight up, JC. That's my dog, JC, right there. That's powerful stuff right there. Man, Jesus isn't beating us up for the stuff that we've done wrong. Our sins are forgiven. Why are we beating ourselves up all the time over stuff that we did wrong? No need in it. I'm going to wrap this point up with a quote from one of probably my favorite movies. I'm going to shed a tear. It's Kung Fu Panda. There's this really, really wise turtle. His name is Master Oogway, and he's talking to Master Shifu. Shifu's like this little, I don't even know what, like a rat type deal. But Shifu's all worried about Tai Lung coming. Tai Lung's like this ninja, like bad man ninja, you know. And he's all worried about this, and Oogway's like, man, you worry too much. And he said this quote, I love it, and I feel like this is from a cartoon, but I just feel like this is golden. Yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift, and that's why it's called the present. So, yeah, Kung Fu Panda. Who said you can't learn stuff from cartoons? And I don't watch it just because my kids and my grandkids, it's like, I love Kung Fu Panda. But my point is, though, is that, you know, don't beat yourself up over things that you've done. And there's... And I don't know, you know, maybe there's certain situations in your life where you just feel like you don't deserve forgiveness or whatever. But just understand that that's not the way Jesus feels. That's you. That's what you're feeling. Don't let it run your life for you in that way. So, all right, point number two. This is awesome. I giggled when I come up with this. It is so good. Stay with me, Jeannie. Stay with me. It's good stuff. All right. I want you to put that up there. Let's have everybody read it together. Right, out loud. If you got an issue, the problem is you. That's good stuff. Makes me laugh every time. Makes me laugh every time. I love it. So in the song, well, we're going to relate this back to the song. In the song, he talks about she's the reason that I feel this way, right? But the fact of the matter is, when you give someone that kind of power over your life, you've taken it out of your hands. You are responsible for the way that you react to things, right? Nobody has control over that but you. I'll give you an example of this in my own life. When I was a kid, my brother can push some buttons. Anybody been there? Anybody got an older brother? I was the younger brother, all right? Younger brothers never do anything to get older brothers in trouble. Older brothers do all that on their own. Amen? Okay. All right, so... like that. So my brother always trying to get under my skin. And anybody watch football? You see somebody, you know, anybody ever played football, you know dirty stuff goes on in a pile. Amen? Yeah. Bad kind of bad. You know, it's just dirty in there. Who always gets caught? The second one. Second person is always the one that gets caught, right? My brother would do something, I'd be like, ooh, you did. I'd be like, ooh, and my mom would be like, boy. I was like, but mom, he. And mom was like, no, you. You're responsible for what you did. It's not his fault. And I tell this to my son all the time. I was like, dude, if you will do what you're supposed to do, I will take care of the other. That's my job. I'm the parent. It's not your job. Don't retaliate. He gets to hear that from me all the time, and so does my daughter. So it's that, you know, it's just, you're responsible for your own actions. So you can't give anyone or any situation that kind of power over your life. Now, to make everybody feel better, I want you guys to know that this has been going on since the onset of man and woman. From the very first man and woman, this stuff's been going on, passing the buck on to somebody else. In Genesis, we're talking about, you know, we all know that the serpent deceived the woman had the fruit. Okay, we all know that story, right? Well, let me introduce you to the first time somebody passed the buck. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." All right, so we see what he did there? And I don't know why, I hear like Jeff Foxworthy on this. I'm like, it was that woman! She did it! And not only that, not only did he throw the woman under the bus, but he threw God under the bus. He said, "That woman that you gave me made me do that." Way to go, Adam. All right. And he set the tone for years to come. Now women have power over men forevermore. Come on, Adam. All you had to do was be a man. Put your foot down. Now every time I put mine down, it gets lifted back up. So, seriously though, we're so quick to give others that kind of power over our life. But, you know, I don't know why we do that. Maybe it's because if we admit that we're the problem, that we're the issue, then maybe that means we're admitting weakness. Maybe that's why we have such a hard time with it. So, I wanted to share this story that I heard at a class that I was at the other day. The teacher was giving this class, and he was a great speaker. And I mean, from the minute he started telling this story, I was just captivated by it. And it was so true, and I think it applies very well to what we're talking about today. He was a freshman in high school, a little guy, like so little that his pads didn't fit. You know, like his helmet turned sideways on his head. You know, everything just swallows him. And his coach, with his profound wisdom, decided to make him the third string quarterback. He's like, "I couldn't throw a ball. I couldn't do nothing." But he said, he put me at third string. And I'm like, "It's okay. It's third string, right? I'm not going to play." He said, so we go out and we start the season, and the first string guy goes down. He's like, "Okay, well, we still got another guy, and this guy will be better before it's time for me to go in." So the guy winds up being out for the season. Go three games in, and the second string guy gets hurt. Well, guess what? It's time to call his number, okay? He's like, I'm all kinds of nervous. He's like, I walk over to my coach. My helmet's on all crooked. He straightens it out for me. He's like, "Go in there. Yeah, we need you." It's like, okay, but at least all I got to do is just hand the ball off, right? He knows me. He knows that I can't run the ball. I'm me. And so he says, we go out there and they bring the play in. Whose number did they call? Mine. So they called my number. So nobody's expecting it. So I get out there. We run the play, fake the handoff, tuck it under, and I run. I get 50 yards on the play. Get to the end of the run, and I fumbled the ball. He said, I did not want to face my coach. He said, I was just scared to death. I did not want to face my coach. So I wobbled over to coach. He straightened my helmet, grabbed me by the face mask, and he got on my level, and he told me something that I'll never forget. He said, control what you can control. And what he was trying to say is, it's gone. Just like it's in the past, it doesn't matter. I need you here. I need you to control what you can control from this point forward. See, these points are closely tied together. So Ephesians 4:26-27 says this, and do not sin by letting anger control you, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. So the truth is our anger and our attitudes, that's something that we can manage. And we have to control that. If you don't control what you can control, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. And ain't nobody got time for that. Right. So what I want to discuss now is this is called the circle of influence, okay? And the big circle on the outside is your circle of concern. The darker circle is the circle of influence. What this chart is telling us here, the more you focus on what you can control, the smaller the outer circle gets. The more you focus on the stuff that's outside of your control, the smaller your circle of influence becomes. So don't focus on the things that you can't change and you can't do anything about it, because you can't do nothing about it, right? Don't let it be your focus. Do what you can. Control what you can control. Right, so our third point. If you messed up, own it. At the end of the song, he's met this guy. They've gone through all this, and he's just listened to him just crying in his beer or whatever he's drinking. He's like, you know what? I'm calling home. I'm not doing this. This ain't who I want to be. And so what I'm trying to say here is, if you put your foot in your mouth, just admit it. Ask for forgiveness. It's okay. Everybody falls short, right? That's why God sent Jesus to die for our sins, because he knew we needed a Savior. I know. I mean, I really just feel like there's times that God's just sitting up there going, again? You know? I mean, really. We mess up and we do the same things over and over and over. And he knew we needed a Savior. That's why he sent Jesus. We all need forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all need forgiveness. I don't know what that looks like for maybe somebody in this room. You know, arguments with a friend. You know, maybe you had an argument with a friend. I had a buddy tell me here just this week that he had a friend that he had lost touch with because they had a conversation about the other one's significant other. And just some things that he had seen and he knew. And he was just trying to share that honesty, but it wound up ruining that friendship for a long time. And then just out of the blue, maybe just like a couple months ago, this guy sent him a text message, and he was basically said just that. He owned what happened. I screwed up. I ruined a good friendship, and all because I was mad. Can you please forgive me? So it's just that simple. I mean, it's just, forgive me. I screwed up. We all need forgiveness. We're born into sin. Sin is rampant in our world. And if you accept Jesus into your life, then you'll be saved from death. Simple as that, right? Okay. Fellas. Just the fellas in the room. Would it be safe to assume, maybe, just maybe, we as fellas might need a little bit more forgiveness than the ladies? I'm out on a limb, guys. I'm asking somebody to go with me. Okay. All right. I don't know what it is. This all goes back to the first, Adam and his deal. I mean, if we wouldn't need so much forgiveness if he hadn't thrown her under the bus way back when. I'm gonna give you some nuggets that I feel like will change your life, okay? There's two scripture verses. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." And then we have Matthew 6:15 that says, "But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins." Okay? You got those? Go on a journey with me. Okay? We're in our work clothes. We're in our work truck. It's raining. We've been fighting mud all day, going through mud. It's knee deep, working our butts off. Just can't wait to get home and get in our easy chair. Easy chair is where it's at. All right. So we finally get to head home after a long day at work, right? We walk in the door and we kick off our boots wherever they land. Mud's falling off of them. Mud's falling off our jeans. We go and we walk and sit in our easy chair, get mud all over the chair, and we kick our feet back. Like, oh, that's what I've been waiting for. And that all was because it was really hard to hold my leg up. So, now let's go on the other side of that. Let's take you on the other side of the door. Mama's been working all day, and she's cleaned the house from top to bottom. She has spent all day mopping floors, wiping down furniture, and she's all, finally the house is clean. So what you just did was you walked in and you destroyed all of her hard work. Anybody been there? Okay. How many of your wives were happy about that? So you throw this at her. We go back to point number three. Baby, I messed up. I'm sorry. But the Word of God says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And she comes back at you with, even Jesus would have told you to take your boots off at the door. So, here's what we do. We throw the big gun at her. But if you refuse to give me, honey, God will not forgive you. Let me know how that works out for you guys, too. Because I'm not trying it. I'm just trying to help you guys out. But in all seriousness, though, you know, I don't know. Maybe we have such a hard time with forgiveness. We know it's a hard thing to achieve and it's a hard thing to do. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, like I said, we all need that forgiveness. We all need to be able to own it. Don't try to sugarcoat what we've done. You know, just say, you know what, I messed up and I'm sorry. And then after that, you've done all you can do, you know. I mean, that's all you can do. And if they choose not, well, then again, that goes back to them. But that's all of us. I mean, how many of us have had those situations in life where somebody has done us wrong and we're just like, I'm not going there anymore. I'm not doing it. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of all your crap that you bring into my life. I'm done with you. I've been there. And I have a lot of guilt about being there in that situation. Because of, you know, reading the Word and getting, and you know, it's that, and as you get in it and you read it, God, you know, Bo's always talking about it'll read you more than you read it, right? And the guilt is because I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not supposed to be feeling that way. But I do feel like, and this could just be an opinion, maybe to make myself feel better, I don't know. But one thing that I feel like that I've learned is that when you have somebody in your life that is just continually, you forgive them, you let them back in, they do it again. You forgive them, yeah, here, all the way. I think what I'm learning is that it's okay to forgive, but you do not have to invite that back into your life all the time. So I don't know if that's, I can't see anywhere that says that in the Word of God, so I have to view that. That's an opinion, but I feel like it's maybe something that God is helping me to understand. So at the beginning, we talked about how God can use people that may or not be obvious candidates, may or may not be obvious candidates, to get us back on the path that He desires for us. And we use the song, I Hate Everything, to illustrate this, right? And there were three questions that I wanted to answer. How can I move forward when my past is so jaded? And we answered that simply with photos fade. Your past helped to form you, but it does not define you. Number two, how can I get past the anger that seems to come from certain relationships or circumstances? We figured out that if you have an issue, the problem, there you go. Thanks for that audience participation. We have to control what we can control, and our attitude and our anger, those are within our control. And if we let go of those, then the devil has that in our life, and we don't want that. And number three, how can anyone forgive me for the terrible things that I've said or done? And we said if we mess up, we got to own it. Don't sugarcoat it. It's been done. Ask for forgiveness. Everybody needs forgiveness. Don't feel bad if you've got to ask for it. Jesus forgave us all. So as you're leaving here today, I want to encourage everybody to remember that God's always reaching out to you. He will find ways to reach you, and it may be through a chance encounter or a chance situation. You know, and it may be a positive thing, it may be a negative thing, I don't know. But, you know, he'll reach out and he'll put people in your path to get you back on track. And also want you guys to remember, too, that maybe, just maybe, that you're that chance encounter for someone. And think about how you want to be perceived in those encounters. Do you want to be the Mr. Chipper guy, like, you know, living for Christ is good? Or do you want them to see you like you hate everything? Bow your heads with me, please. Maybe there's somebody in here today and you're having a situation where you need some forgiveness. You're holding something against yourself that you've done in the past. You know, just whatever that case may be, I don't know what it looks like for everybody. Maybe you've had an issue in your marriage, and maybe, you know, you agreed to move past it, but you're holding on to it. And can I just tell you that if you agree to move past it, that means you're going to move forward and you're not going to keep going back to it. You can never heal that way. So I just, if there's somebody in here feeling that, I want to pray for that. Or maybe, you know, maybe there's old friendships that have been, they've been damaged or hurt because of things that were said or things that were done. And maybe you're holding on to that. And if that's the case, I want to pray for that as well. And I know that there's people going through so many things in so many different things in this room. You know, and we could be up here all day trying to guess scenarios, but the fact of the matter is, you don't have to dwell on the things that you've done wrong. Don't dwell on the things that others have done wrong. Don't be so prideful that you don't ask for forgiveness because you don't think you deserve it. Or you don't forgive someone because you don't think they deserve it. Don't let pride stand in the way. I just ask, you know, maybe there's somebody in this room that doesn't know Jesus. And if there's anybody like that in this room, if you don't know Jesus, and maybe you're thinking, hey, this Jesus guy sounds like he can help me out. I want to know more. Or maybe you understand a lot about Jesus, but you never asked him into your heart. I just want to encourage you, and I'd like to maybe just say a little prayer right now to help you guys. You say something like this in your heart. It's not about the fancy words that you speak. It's just about surrendering to him. Just tell him, Jesus, I can't do this without you. Everything that I do on my own, I mess it up. Please come in and take control of my life. Help me, because I can't do it on my own. It's that simple. And if you prayed something like that, guess what? Jesus is ready to come into your heart, and he is ready to take control. If you truly surrender your heart to him and let him have it, he will guide you and he will lead you. Now, if you've made a decision like that, if you prayed that prayer and you want to let somebody know, please do. We don't want you to walk alone. Here at Thousand Hills, we care about the future. We care about the next generation. We care about everybody within this church. Anybody that comes here, we want them to know Jesus, because that's why we're here. So let somebody know, and we want to help you continue on that walk. There's people that would love to pray with you, pray for you. Just let somebody know. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for this opportunity to be up here and share your word today. And Lord, I just think it's so amazing how you can always use imperfect people. Because I know I'm no authority on anything, Lord. But you give me truths and the opportunity to stand up here and share things that you want to say. And you've done it so many times throughout your word. You did it with so many people, imperfect people. You just use them. And so, Lord, I pray that my imperfections were thrown aside and that somebody heard something that they needed to hear here today. I pray that this word has touched people's lives, changed lives, and maybe is changing situations yet to come for them. Lord, I pray that if everybody leaves here, that you would keep everybody safe. Bless their lives, bless their homes, bless their families. And above all, Lord, I just pray that everything that's done in our lives, within these walls, everything that we do, I pray that glory goes to you, because what we do is all about you. It's not about anybody in this building. It's about you. And I pray that that is what happened, that you receive the glory. And it's in your precious name I pray. Amen.